Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
A man returned to the United States after a trip abroad feeling very ill. He went to see his doctor and was immediately rushed to the hospital to undergo a barrage of extensive tests. The man woke up after the tests in a private room at the hospital, and the phone by his bedside rang. He picked it up, and the voice said, "This is your doctor. We've got the results back from your tests, and we found that you have an extremely horrible virus that is very contagious." Panicked and concerned, the man cried, "Oh no, what are we going to do, doctor?" And he replied, "Well, we're going to put you on a strict diet of pizzas, pancakes, and quesadillas." The man asked hopefully, "Will that cure me, doctor?" The doctor said, "No, but it's the only food we can get under the door." Our next coworker of Paul that we're going to look at is Luke. Luke was a physician and probably much braver than the doctor in this joke. Luke was a faithful companion with Paul and stayed with the apostle to the end of his life. And with all the physical persecution and suffering that Paul endured for Christ, he needed a doctor as a co-worker. Acts 16:9-12 read, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." Paul mentions his co-worker Luke by name in three of his epistles. And these are the only times Luke is mentioned by name in the entire New Testament. In Colossians 4:14, Philemon 1:24, and 2 Timothy 4:11. And all three times his name appears, it does so in Paul's writings from prison, which tells us something about Luke and his faithfulness to Paul. From these three references, we learn that Luke was a physician, that he was one of Paul's fellow laborers, and that he was with Paul at Rome during Paul's final imprisonment. But though only three passages name this man, Luke is a central and leading character in the whole New Testament by virtue of the two important books he wrote, the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. Luke does not name himself in either of his books, and he humbly kept himself in the shadows as much as he could. From the book of Acts, we learn how Luke was a frequent companion of Paul, who was often faithfully at his side. But his modesty is evident in Acts by the way we have to just sense his presence through his use of pronouns in the book. Within Acts, there are distinct passages where Luke, the author, wrote in first person plural using pronouns such as we, our, and us. For the first 15 chapters of Acts, Luke described the activities of the apostles and characters using the third person pronouns he, his, they, them. However, here in chapter 16, Luke started using first person plural pronouns such as we, our, and us. The obvious conclusion to draw is that Luke joined Paul during these phases of his ministry. However, after Luke first joined Paul and it changed to first person plural pronouns, this does not remain the same until the end of Acts. Rather, Luke swapped back and forth between first person and third person pronouns, but that has the benefit of allowing us to track and pinpoint when Paul was accompanied by Luke in his travels. The first "we" passage occurs in Acts 16. Leading up to it, in verses 6 to 8, Luke wrote of they and them. Speaking of Paul, Silas, and Timothy on Paul's second apostolic journey, Luke wrote, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia," Luke then wrote, "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas." Here in Troas is when Paul had the vision of the man of Macedonia begging them to come to Europe to help them. It is then that the pronouns change. In Acts 16, 10 and 11 we read, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis." Luke joined up with the team of Paul, Silas, and Timothy in Troas. From Troas, he sailed with them to Neapolis and then traveled to Philippi. There, Luke witnessed the beating and imprisonment of Paul and Silas. At this point, the "we" passages stop for a significant amount of time. Luke did not accompany them when Paul, Silas, and Timothy left Philippi. No negative reason is given for his staying, and we can be sure that Luke was a devoted and great help to the newly formed church in Philippi. We see Luke being left behind in Acts 17:1 as it reverts back to the third-person pronouns when Paul, Silas, and Timothy left Philippi. And it reads, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica." Not until Acts 20 does Luke rejoin Paul. This was at least 4 years later, and he rejoined Paul during Paul's third apostolic journey. And Luke links up again with Paul in Philippi. Philippi was the drop-off point for Luke in Acts 16, and Luke rejoined Paul from the same location in Acts 20. Whether Luke stayed in Philippi this entire time, we can't say for sure, but it is possible. Acts 20 verse 6 then reads, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." Luke traveled with Paul all the way then to Jerusalem. Arriving there, Acts 21:17 reads, "And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." Following this, Paul was falsely accused of taking a Gentile into the temple, which led to a riot. And that then led to Paul's arrest and being taken to Caesarea and imprisoned there for 2 years. When Paul was taken to Caesarea, the "we" passages stop again. Where Luke resided during these 2 years, we don't know for sure, but I think it was Jerusalem. And it is a very real possibility that it was at this time that the distinguished doctor wrote the Gospel of Luke. For 2 years, Luke could have traveled around the land of Israel, gone throughout Jerusalem, talking to those who had first-hand knowledge of Christ and his earthly ministry. In Luke 1, Luke wrote how he depended on verbal reports for his gospel record and had interviews with those who were eyewitnesses. Luke 1, verse 2 reads, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." Luke wrote his record by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but we see how the Spirit used Luke's careful, precise investigation and thorough historical research as well. And I think that research and investigation took place during this 2-year time period while Paul was in prison in Caesarea. And as a result of Luke's thorough research, the Spirit used Luke to record other things not found in the other gospel records, such as the birth of John the Baptist and the Lord's birth, the record of Christ in the temple at 12 years old, the two disciples who met Christ after his resurrection as they traveled home on the road to Emmaus. And also many parables are unique to Luke, including the parables of the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. After 2 years, because Paul appealed to Caesar, Paul was sent to Rome. And it's at that point in Acts 27 that the we passages begin again. Luke reunited with Paul in Caesarea, and Luke accompanied Paul during his stormy voyage to Rome. And Luke gave a vivid nautical description of this journey, of the storm, and of the shipwreck that he experienced firsthand, making it safely to the island of Malta. Then in Acts 28:16 we read, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard." Paul was placed under house arrest in Rome, and there he wrote the prison epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. In Colossians, Paul referred to Luke as the beloved physician, and in Philemon, he called Luke his fellow laborer. And it was during the 2 years of Paul's house arrest in Rome that Luke likely wrote the record of the book of Acts. Luke does not mention Paul's release and subsequent travels because the apostle was still in prison when he wrote Acts.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute, but first we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Acts, Dispensationally Considered, Volume 2, is a 472-page hardcover commentary written by Cornelius R. Stamm, founder of Berean Bible Society. It covers Acts chapter 15, verse 36, through Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Far more than an inspired storybook, Acts presents a clear line of teaching and explains why the fulfillment of prophecy was interrupted some 19 centuries ago to make way for the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. To order your copy, contact Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750. Or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Colossians 4:14 reads, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." Warren Wiersbe wrote of Luke, "He was a beloved Christian, a skilled physician, a devoted friend, and a careful historian, all wrapped up in one." Luke was quite the man of God. He was an able and faithful co-worker of the apostle. Luke was both physically and spiritually helpful to Paul, and if anybody ever needed a personal physician, it was Paul. As 2 Corinthians 11 reminds us of Paul's ministry, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Paul suffered much for Christ as the apostle of the Gentiles. But God in his mercy provided Paul with a companion who was a physician. Paul was not made of iron. He was made of the same kind of flesh that we are. Paul needed the attendance of a physician who cared for his infirmities and nursed him back to health. And there were plenty of aches and pains and wounds for Dr. Luke to attend to, which kept him busy. But this was a tremendous help to Paul's ministry. And though Luke was an articulate, educated, and gifted man, he was content to come alongside the Apostle Paul and to be a servant, giving his life and service to his personal needs so that Paul could continue to make the gospel of grace known to the nations. Luke used his medical training and ability as a tool to further the gospel. And Luke is a glowing example of the professional man who uses his skills in the service of the Lord and gives himself to go wherever God sends him. And Luke faced his own share of suffering also in being a co-laborer and traveler with Paul. But the fact that Paul called him the beloved physician shows Paul's gratitude for his ministry and service to him as his personal physician. And Luke was beloved also because he worked in such a way that he brought glory to God, and he was a blessing to Paul and others by his service. And because of his ministry and good work as a physician, we have many hospitals named in honor of this co-worker of Paul, as you find many hospitals called St. Luke's. John Phillips writes this about Luke being a physician. At the time of Imperial Rome, there was an accrediting college at Rome that supervised the licensing of medical doctors. It was called the Collegium Archiatorum. It was responsible for examining all those who wanted to practice medicine in every city of the empire. Those newly admitted to the medical fraternity were interned under older physicians. Their methods of treatment were closely supervised, and their mistakes were severely punished. A doctor could even lose his diploma. Like physicians have to be today, being a doctor even in Luke's day tells us that Luke was well educated. We see Luke's education as well and how his writings reveal that he had a rich and extensive vocabulary and had an outstanding command of the Greek language. One Greek lexicon shows that there are around 312 words in his gospel that are found nowhere else in the New Testament. You also see Luke being a doctor in how he wrote. In the account of the Good Samaritan, Dr. Luke revealed his knowledge of the first aid treatment of his day. And the Spirit used that knowledge and experience of Luke as Luke wrote his gospel. Luke 10:33-34 reads, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." The Good Samaritan treated the wound expertly. And Luke's description showed that as a physician, Luke was well-versed in wound treatment as practiced in his day, binding up the wounds and pouring in oil and wine showed recognition of the antiseptic qualities of alcohol. And the use of oil helped wounds to heal better, as the coating of the oil served to protect the wound from contamination. And Luke probably used this wound treatment more than once than the Apostle Paul as he ministered to him as a physician. Every year in Alaska, a 1,000-mile dog sled race, a run for prize money and prestige, commemorates an original race run to save lives. Back in January of 1926, 6-year-old Richard Stanley showed symptoms of diphtheria, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome. When the boy passed away a day later, Dr. Curtis Welch began immunizing children and adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. But it wasn't long before Dr. Welch's supply ran out, and the nearest serum was in Nenana, Alaska, 1,000 miles of frozen wilderness away. Amazingly, a group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog teams, operating in relays from trading post to trapping station and beyond. One sled started out from Nome, while another carrying the serum started from Nenana. Oblivious to frostbite, fatigue, and exhaustion, the teamsters mushed relentlessly until after 144 hours and minus 50 degree winds, the serum was delivered to Nome. As a result, only one other life was lost to the potential epidemic. Their sacrifice had given an entire town the gift of life. Luke was a fellow laborer with Paul and others in the gospel ministry. As Paul wrote of Luke in Philemon 1:24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Luke's sacrifice and the sacrifice of the other companions of Paul as they traveled great distances with Paul to take the gospel to the nations, gave people the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. Serving with Paul in the gospel ministry meant that Luke was a physician of both soul and body. As a doctor, Luke worked to save physical life. As a servant of Christ, he worked to save souls, that they might have spiritual life. By his life and writings, Luke ministered to the whole person. Human beings are made in the image of the triune God. Thus, we are a three-part being with a body, soul, and spirit. And as Luke ministered to individuals, he ministered to the whole person. And his writings and God's word continue to minister to our souls to this moment. 2 Timothy 4, 9-11 read, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." After Paul was released from his first Roman imprisonment, we don't know what happened to Luke. He may have stayed with Paul for those few years when Paul was at liberty, or he may not have. We cannot say definitively. But when Paul was arrested a second time and imprisoned in Rome and condemned to die, we find that Luke was right there with him. Luke was with Paul in both of his Roman imprisonments. At the end of Paul's life, we read that Demas hath forsaken me, and that only Luke is with me. Luke had remained faithful, while Demas abandoned the apostle. Demas abandoned Paul because he loved the world. When your heart loves this world, you love what unbelievers love. And Demas's love for the world commanded his heart, mind, soul, and strength. His affections were on things on the earth, and he lost sight of the world to come. And it led him to leaving Paul and leaving the ministry to live for the temporal. Luke, however, stayed with Paul because he loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. His focus was on the eternal. His affection was on things above and on Christ. And his desire was to care for lost souls and to care for his friend, Paul. In Paul's first Roman imprisonment, he received many visitors. Acts 28:30 reads, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him." But in contrast to this, only Luke was with Paul in this second and final imprisonment. This makes you ask, though, where were the Roman believers and all those listed in Romans chapter 16? Where were the saints that were of Caesar's household that Paul wrote about in Philippians 4? The answer is they were likely driven underground, or driven into hiding, or driven out of Rome altogether by the persecution of believers at that time. The Caesar Nero had cranked up the persecution at that time to a very high level, and Christians were paying with their lives. But that makes it all the more meaningful that only Luke is with me. Luke courageously remained with Paul in his darkest hour, when so many other believers had fled or were hiding or were in fear. Luke stuck with Paul through thick and thin. He remained true to the Apostle Paul to the end. And in the days leading up to the day of Paul's execution, Luke did what he could to relieve Paul's suffering, pain, and infirmities. And when the morning came that the aged apostle was led away to his execution, Luke was there. And when the sword flashed in the morning light and Paul's head was struck from his body and his soul soared to the light and glory of heaven in the presence of Christ, it was likely Luke who cared for Paul's body. Kenneth Wiest writes the following: "How beautiful it is to see that the beloved physician should feel that his place was beside Paul when the end was approaching. How true to his medical instinct this was, not to depreciate the grace of God moving him in his heart to the same action. What a trophy of God's grace Luke is. Here's a doctor of medicine, leaving his medical practice to be the personal physician of an itinerant preacher, to share his hardship and privations, his dangers and toil. The great success of the apostle whom he attended in a medical way is due in some measure to the physician's watchful care over his patient, who is the recipient of stonings, scourgings, and beatings, a man whose physical strength was always at the ragged edge of exhaustion because of his incessant and intense work and long, difficult journeys. Now his patient, grown old before his time, was suffering the discomforts of a Roman cell. He had to be guarded against disease. Only Luke is with me." What a comfort he was to Paul.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.